Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and we're talking again about Wonder Woman 84, just getting a different perspective on it. And Keith, how did you feel about Wonder Woman 84?
In a nutshell, disappointed.
You were really hype about this movie. It was like, oh, she's lassoing lightning bolts.
That's exactly it. I was pumped for it. A trailer made it seem like the movie was much different than what it was. Not that it was misleading in a way. It showed everything that was in there. The first, I'd say, 20 minutes of the movie, it was a good setup. The problem is that there were four acts to this film.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Your first act of the film was the setup, where she came from, establishing what her life was like now, and also establishing the characters, the other characters who will pop up in there is Maxwell Lord, Barbara Minerva, who would eventually become Cheetah, and Dinah Prince. All these are nice little nods back to the Wonder Woman TV series that came out back in the late 70s, early 80s.
And even in some of the animated stuff, Cheetah shows up. In the last one, Wonder Woman Bloodlines, which was actually pretty good.
No, yes, it was. And standard introduction and everything, but it just kept going. And then you get to a second act. And normally what you have, you've got three acts. You've got act one, which is the setup. Act two, which is the build up. And act three is the climax and the epilogue. This had a second act that just carried on. Reintroduced Steve Trevor. Well, not even that point. Let me take that back. You had the establishment of the plot, and it kept going with it. This is all about a magic stone that grants wishes. Okay?
Correct. Yeah, it Mike brought up that it's a genie movie.
Pretty much. And you did not need to have an hour just what this wishing stone was and how everybody's playing around with it. You didn't need an hour of that. Literally an hour of people playing with this wishing stone. It was almost like this is the director's cut, and no one came along and said, you need to cut this.
Correct. You need to cut all this mess out. 2.5 hours. And
2.5 hours.
I'm not sure if it's just because it was coming out on HBO Max and they just went for the gusto, then offered the entire movie, everything that should have been in the deleted scenes or everything that should have been in the extras on the Blu-ray. They just offered everything.
Exactly. They should have shaved an hour off of this film, period. There's nothing wrong with a 90-minute movie. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. People give Zack and Deborah Snyder a lot of flack because they think they ruined the DC cinematic universe and that they're poor filmmakers. But I've watched all of his film. There are flaws in their filmmaking. But the one thing flaw that they do not have is that they do know how to organize and set up a story. This was way too much. They wanted to tell multiple stories.
Yeah. This movie and Justice League, the Whedon cut of Justice League, both suffer from the same pacing problem.
I don't know who came up with the idea for the reshoots, but that was a bad idea. Trying to throw in this thing where she heals a Trump-like character and then giving him some redeeming qualities. And let me just go back. As a comic fan, Maxwell Lord has no redeeming qualities. The guy's a fucking asshole.
Makes the movie weak for you to have this muted villain. The misguided villain. And everybody has to have this more modern filmmaking and the maybe past 2015 filmmaking having a sympathetic villain. He's a great father, too engrossed in his work, and he wants his son's love.
Then you had this flashback of dad beat his mom, and that's what drove him to obtain more and to get more. So his way of getting more is by granting people's wishes, and he don't really want to be a bad guy and hurt people. He just wants to grant wishes and give everybody what they want, and by an extension, give himself what he wants. If you'd have taken that basic premise, that's the villain of Max Lord. Wonder Woman's got to educate him. She's got to school him and say, hey, it's not the way to go about doing it. What you're doing is all wrong. It's not how you do it. Okay, I get that. But this hot mess, it was like they kept tacking on more and more stuff to that character. Cheetah, her storyline got completely muted. There had to have been more to her storyline. I honestly was counting on Pedro Pascal's character. Like, granted, I was excited to see him because I'm a huge fan of his work. But I honestly didn't think he was going to be the focus of this. I thought it was going to be more along the lines of grants Cheetah her wish and they just go ham. Wonder Woman's got to put a stop to him. Your sympathetic villains are there. You don't have to add or try to shoehorn some real world analogies of real world personalities. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And I would say that maybe another movie that balances out having somebody that would ultimately be a villain working alongside of the hero is Doctor Strange. Baron Mordo is technically a villain.
Yes. Yes.
But for the bulk of the movie, they are working together until, mm-hmm. and he just becomes disillusioned.
His hard stance was that these are the rules. You said that not to do this. These are the results of us doing this. But then you just go ahead and break all the rules again that this other person broke. Where does it end?
Yeah.
I can't be a part of it. I'm out. I can't be a part of this. All right. That makes sense. Cheetah just wants to keep her power because she wants to be strong and beautiful. Okay, great. You want to keep your powers. You want to be strong and beautiful and all that other stuff. It was too big a leap. How do you go from being that to doing that way? It was always hinted at the wishes came with a dark side to the wishes.
Yeah.
Okay. Then bringing Steve Trevor back, that was a good way. That was a good method of bringing him back. It was entertaining having him for the roles reversed with him being a fish out of water and being new to this new world. That was totally believable. I like that. And it probably would have been better if they'd advanced the timeline to the 90s or even the 2000s. The 80s was one of those interesting times. America was building up, coming back from the 70s. America was on the rise. Kind of makes sense that it was
great. Yeah. So something that I brought up during the last podcast was that the last act is basically Superman, the quest for peace.
I won't go that far as being that terrible. Well, wait, hold on. Give me a sec. Okay, I actually do remember Superman, The Quest for Peace, and that's a fair analogy. Wow, that's bad. Losing his powers.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman loses her powers, getting her butt kicked. He lost his powers because, what's his name, scratched him, infected his fingernails.
Nuclear Man.
Yeah, Nuclear Man, and he got sick, and they had to beg Superman to come back. You know what the interesting thing is? You tell that the reshoots kicked in is because the very beginning of the film, you had Diana learning the life lesson of fair play. Winning fairly is the way to win, is the way to achieve your goals.
Yeah.
That actually did not come about. That didn't pan out in the end. You can clearly tell that there was something else capped to that lesson. Perfect villain for this time and age. You've got a strong female who is going to show a greedy ass old male how he's going wrong, and she doesn't have to kick his ass to do it. She has to tell him and convince him that his ways are wrong and how to find a better way. Cheetah's character, who has achieved power, something she's never achieved before. She's pretty, beautiful, desirable. She's achieved power. This power comes at a cost. The cost is too great. You got to amend your ways. Your cost is too great. It got bogged down in all this dumb stuff. I mean, you had that plane ride scene through the fireworks. I don't know how much money they spent on that, but that made no sense. First of all, Steve Trevor can't fly a damn jet. The man was flying biplanes, early 1900s, flying a late 80s top-of-the-line fighter jet.
F-14 Tomcat or something like that.
Pretty much. And then she's got that Man of Steel moment where she's learning how to fly. And I'm like, you know what? It was 1,000 times cooler when she was lassoing like jets around. I thought that was badass. And then says she's flying around. I'm like, that's boring as hell. Flying around was boring as hell. Her lassoing damn lightning bolts. I'm like, that's badass. Now that's some epic stuff. It went nowhere. None of it went anywhere. The whole fight scene with them in the Middle East, it was like they had to shoehorn Steve Trevor into the fight. And you're like, dude, honestly, out of the way and let her do her thing. It was nothing like the first movie. That first movie, the action sequences, set pieces were amazing. The final Ares fight, I liked it. I personally thought it was badass. This fight didn't have anything. It was boring. I mean, I sat there with my wife, my in-laws, we all sat there and we all said almost at the same time, an hour into the movie, when is the movie going to start? That was the question. When's the movie start? Because this is boring. Oh my God. And then the whole point with the whole golden armor outfit and then why that whole golden armor thing came about. Oh, Lord have mercy. I mean,
yeah, it was just like, that she had to shed withholding her feelings and she needs to shed the armor in order to become a true self.
The second movie of a superhero movie, there's no more setup. It's action. Go. It's go time.
I think for this movie to be successful, it should have been somehow she needs to be brought back to Themyscira. It makes sense. I mean, it has happened in the animated movies.
Yes, it has.
But I think that would have tied into the first scene somehow. And if you do that, the bulk of the movie would be what they're trying to promote socially. You're not losing out on anything. You get your Wonder Woman movie, you get your social agenda movie, luckily a better script, where this one just had too many ideas, too many plot holes, And
yeah, the reshoots killed this thing. Just, I don't know what they were doing with
and,
that.
I mean, really, the movie's only about four people, but it felt like there was just too many people in the movie.
Way too much junk going on. I don't know who to blame for this. Whose idea was to come
behind?
The
thing is Patty Jenkins, because the first movie, she was credited only as director. But this one, she had written the movie. The biggest problem with filmmaking today, a lot of these movie companies are in control of properties that they did not create, that fans hold dear, but they turn out to bastardize them for profit and advancing social agendas. That's what is happening in this movie. Obviously, Wonder Woman's there because AT&T, Warner Brothers now owns DC Comics. Comic book movies for the past couple of years have been the top grossing movies. Chaotic nature of the U.S. over the past 4 years, movies have slanted to everything has to be promoting social agendas, where there's this riot going on in D.C. And then Wonder Woman needs to learn how to let go of Steve Trevor to become her true self and heal her wounds. Because for no apparent reason at all, other than we need to have this riot going on, the world's coming to an end because of one person. It's like, okay, but what does this have to do with Wonder Woman? Why is there only a handful of scenes with Wonder Woman? Why is the movie called Wonder Woman when it's mostly about Diana Prince? It's like there was no restraint with the ideas or the script for the movie. And someone from Warner Brothers, AT&T, had to have seen this. And was like, this is not good. There's nobody sitting in a room pre-screened with this giving thumbs up, saying yes, 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 yes. Somebody had to see that this was a problem, and I'm not sure how this movie would have turned out beforehand, and the movie was delayed, and the movie would have gotten delayed again if the fact that Captain Corona is not taking lives and destroying society. It would have been, hey, this movie comes out May of 2021, and it would still be bad. Or if somehow Corona cut the movie short, where they want to go ahead and maybe finish up some scenes, and they couldn't, so they just went with the original cut. But there's no way that this movie was seen by people before it came out and not understood that this is not 100% great movie.
I don't think anyone's at the helm there. I'm a little worried about what's coming out of the DC Cinematic Universe moving forward.
Because they had fixed these problems. Aquaman was a competent, good movie, even though it ripped off a whole bunch of other movies.
Hey, Aquaman, it worked. Some fantastical amazingness. I loved it.
Shazam,
I loved
every worked.
Outlandish bit. Shazam worked as well.
If you're taking a look at Shazam, it's kind of like Big, some other 80s or kid winds up getting their wish. I'm not sure they planned this for Wonder Woman, but the movie just feels really uneven with the ideas that, again, it didn't need to take place in 1984. Everything else going on, they really just didn't need to be the fact that this was taking place in 1984. Regardless of the fish out of water, regardless of, there's no real good 80s jokes for this to justify it being in 1984.
Yeah, and it was understandable why she was during World War I, because, like, honestly, no one really had a World War I take on that type of thing. The World War II was a catalyst for American superheroes to come about because the villain is Nazis and everything. Kind of no reason for it to be in the 80s other than a nod to Wonder Woman TV series. That wasn't even in 84. I think it was like late 70s.
Yeah. Kind of goes back to what I was saying about these companies. A lot of these movies are just marketing decisions. It's the same problem that Star Wars just got finished trying to solve. A marketing decision was made to approach the movies in this manner. And then when it doesn't work viably commercially, has to be taken back to let's make a core movie. Extrapolate all the BS, the social agendas, the problem with this movie, it tries to be a lot of substance over style, and it lacks style, and it also lacks substance. So the movie just becomes a lot of content without a lot of reasoning behind the content.
Yeah, let me expand on that a little bit, because they had an idea. They said, let's put it in the 80s, the height of the 80s, when it was all coming together and everything, when it was big, when it was loud, big hair. But the one thing that they missed out on is that they had all this stuff. They had all these ideas that they wanted to kind of touch on, and they tried to cram it into one movie when in truth, each idea ended up kicking the other one down. The whole wishing stone bringing Steve Trevor back and the realization that because he came back, because she's going for herself, is the cause for all these problems. They could have answered the question that popped up earlier, again, is like, where the hell has Wonder Woman been? How come she just showed up Batman versus Superman? Why did she just show up then when she was running around the world since the early 1900s? It tried to tell a self-contained movie with 1,000 different ideas and 1,000 little messages. Instead of just sticking to something, going with the one simple plot line, one simple storyline to doing that. It was way, way too much stuff, trampling over each other. The whole ending dialogue scene where she lasso of truth to reach out to everybody in the world to grant their wish.
Like, I thought the lasso of truth worked slightly differently, but
you can tell.
Well, I would say the movie spends about 7 to 10 minutes of her just leaning against the wall talking. I guess the wind machine was just generating. Throwing papers around. Yes, you must.
Pedro Pascal just shouting, yes, more, give it to me, more. All of your wishes. What is the end game to this? Like, he didn't have an end game. It was just, I'm just going to keep getting more and more stuff. But instead, they killed the end game. The wishes he was getting was killing him. So in order for him to keep getting that ultimate power to heal himself, he needed more wishes. It didn't say that. Yeah. You had to interpret that, intuit that from, he didn't even say it. It was like, oh, I'm sick. In order for me to get my wish to be healed, I need more people to wish for me.
Pedro Pascal's character, and ultimately Cheetah. If you take one of those out of the movie becomes a lot better movie. However you want to fix the story from that point on, it becomes a much better movie because the villains suffer. If you want to call them villains, misguided people that somehow had to be the antagonist. But the movie really suffers from not having a strong villain. I mean, trying to do the dual villain thing, I think that happened in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
There's been multiple villains in these films and in a lot of these comic book films, a lot of them.
And also, I would say the movie starts to become X-Men 3.
I'm going to be honest with you, dude. This is worse than X-Men 3. That train wreck.
Yeah.
Like, X-Men 3 was at least 90 minutes. You can sit down through this.
Or like this, Apocalypse.
I mean, even to that extent, it was kind of like that. But my overall problem is that, one, it was the wrong villain. It was the wrong message for the wrong villain. This is the wrong villain for this movie. It should have been Vandal Savage. That's who they should have used. The guy's an immortal asshole during the Neanderthal days when humans came along out to control and conquer the world, and just because he's smarter and he's a dude, that would have been the villain for her. And you could have had Cheetah in it. And what's more, you don't have to have one villain in just one movie that had Cheetah reoccur again, because Kristen Wiig was really good as Cheetah.
Her problem suffers from writing, and again, because the movie's bloated, that her character just suffers not enough screen time for her, because a lot of it's being sucked up by Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, and then ultimately because you have to have a villain. Yeah. Like, even his scenes are just wrapped into, well, we just need to have an action scene at some point. So the whole one, I guess, Egypt or Middle East is just because they needed to have an action scene with him.
Honestly, it was actually pretty sloppy writing.
It is.
How do you fly a jet from Washington, D.C.?
Probably she just had her have an invisible jet.
And lasso a damn lightning bolt over there. That would have been believable than that. I'm like watching this mess. I'm like, how in the world? And then she uses the thing to create an invisible jet. I'm like, what?
Using the force, basically.
Whatever, man. It was
all right. Well, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. So, Keith, what score would you give this movie? Let me tell you what people gave that. James gave a 0. Mike gave a 3. I gave a 4. I think the first hour of it is not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. It might be on the level of the first movie.
I would probably watch Suicide Squad more than Suicide Squad had a better plot and story and pacing than this movie. Suicide Squad had a better pacing, plot. This movie was a hot mess. This is what happens when you give a couple people way too much damn power.
And they're trying to justify it by, hey, let's fast track a new movie. Patty Jenkins said she didn't want to come back unless it was going to be in theaters. Well, Patty Jenkins is back, everybody. And like, now because I guess she is also on tap for Star Wars stuff.
Oh,
that, I mean, Warner Brothers is like, oh, whatever's happening on the internet, they're just oblivious to it. So obviously you have a contingent of people that like this movie or
want to like this movie. It'll be a minute before it sinks in how bad this damn movie was. This was bad freaking filmmaking right here. This was a bad editing job. This is bad filmmaking. It was a good idea on paper at some point. The original idea. I would love to have seen the original movie before the reshoots kicked in. A much better film, but I don't know what the heck they were doing with this, but I give Suicide Squad a better score than this movie. So I'm going to get this movie a straight up to you. Like, Suicide Squad, Act 1, 2, and 3.
Suicide Squad is more cohesive.
Had a better emotional payoff. Had more entertaining moments and better action set pieces than this movie did. Yeah, I'll even say better acting. That one dude who's Diablo that had a pretty compelling story. Edited out Jared Leto's Joker in it. I wanted to see more Joker. I didn't want to see any more of these people in that movie. I was done with it. Steve Trevor's scenes were funny. That was entertaining, but that was not as entertaining as you thought. Them flying through the fireworks and the invisible jet was just ridiculous. They're on the highway and then Steve Trevor pops up driving an APC. Now, come on. This is ridiculous. Now, Steve Trevor's a normal man. He can't keep up. Wonder Woman's going toe-to-toe with the likes of Superman, for God's sakes. There's no way he's going to be able to handle this, be in the same league as what she's doing.
That's the Beast Game Podcast.